The InStyleOwen podcast is brought to you by Cybionics, an emerging CGM brand that focuses on simplifying how individuals aged 18 and above monitor and control their blood sugar levels. Upon becoming available on the market, the Cybionics GS1 CGM has helped users worldwide navigate the complexities of diabetes management with more confidence and peace of mind. Thanks to Cybionics, now more people are able to view and share their real-time glucose data, receive customizable glucose alarms, and generate full AGP reports, all directly from an intuitive Cybionics app, empowering them with the necessary information to make better decisions about their health. Cybionics combines data accuracy and comfort of wear, which is important to us all, with a feature-rich app. The 14-day scanning-free and calibration-free Cybionics GS1 CGM aims to deliver reliable, seamless diabetes management experiences. For more, check out cybionicscgm.com. This is the InStyleOwen podcast, where I, Owen Costello, try to redefine diabetes. In this week's episode, well, on one side, I look at how I want my blood sugar and my diabetes and my health to be. And then the other side, I look at the thing that I want to do, whether it be drinking alcohol. How do I manage that thing differently to how my normal routine is or how my normal daily nutrition looks like? But before we get into that, everything you hear on the InStyleOwen podcast is from my own personal experience. And if you have any worries or issues regarding your diabetes, please contact a medical professional. Now, let's get stuck into this episode. How's it going? Welcome back to the InStyleOwen podcast. I hope you're well. I hope the week is treating you well so far. And we were just about to jump on and do an episode and Graham goes, oh, no, I have an idea for the podcast or an idea for an episode that we can do. But I was also going to say, Graham, let's just press record because I'm about to take insulin and explain why I'm taking insulin. So what do you want to do first, Graham? Do you want to allow me to take my insulin or do you want to tell me what your idea is?
You take your insulin and talk us through that process and then I'll do the idea.
Okay, so I'm going to go through briefly why I'm taking this dose right now. So generally, it's always kind of presented to us as only take insulin for your meals and only take insulin when you eat food. And yes, I completely understand and appreciate that logic, but also there are times when our blood sugar will be high and we probably need to take insulin outside of a mealtime. For example, we may take an incorrect amount of insulin for a meal and then our blood sugar may continue to be higher after that meal, and a few hours after we still need a correction of insulin. So we're taking insulin to bring our blood sugar back down in the range that we want, even though we're not actually eating a meal at that time. So that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Now, I had a smoothie about an hour and a half ago. Yes, the insulin is still active in my system, but based on my own knowledge of my management, I know that the insulin that I took wasn't quite enough, even though it's still active in my system. So what I'm doing is I'm taking a half unit of insulin right now as we speak live on the podcast. And I'm looking at my blood sugar here. It's 127 milligrams per deciliter. I almost feel like a traitor now that my CGM is in milligram per deciliter as opposed to millimole per liter. But for millimole per liter, that is 7 on the dot. So not actually considered high, but because I know I'm kind of coasting now at 7 following the smoothie that I had, I know that a half unit correction, well, I'm saying correction, even though it's not actually technically a high, but a half unit correction should bring me down to about 5.5, which is a happier number that I like to be at. So what I'm doing is I'm priming my needle, 2 units, 1 or 2 units first to make sure there's actually insulin coming out of the needle, because sometimes we may have a faulty pen or a clogged or faulty needle. So it's important that you actually know insulin is coming out. And then I'm taking a half unit. Done. That's the cap back on the pen. Good to go. That's my logic behind that, Graham.
Easy as you like. Simple as that.
Last point on it. That is a perfect example of how you can look at reevaluating your insulin to carb ratios if you need to reevaluate your insulin to carb ratios. So I had a smoothie that had 70 grams of carbohydrate. I took 3 units. So if I know that 70 divided by 3 is 23.3, that's what my insulin to carb ratio was at the time. But because I took and because I feel I needed an additional half unit, I can reevaluate my ratio by saying 70 grams of carbohydrate divided by the actual amount of insulin that I actually required, which was 3.5, which is 20. So that then to me says in and around that time of day, my insulin to carb ratio is 1 to 20 as opposed to 1 to 23. Are you with me, Graham?
I'm with you. I do love your little your formulas. I love it where, because I'm listening really closely, I'm like, okay, follow, follow, follow. But it's just second nature now. It's just every day is what you do. And I would love that if somebody's listening to this now and you've done your insulin to carb ratios and your formulas through many different episodes, I'd love if there was someone who started listening to this podcast, didn't really know what their insulin to carb ratio or their formulas were, but now it's just a part of their everyday life. They learned it from listening to the podcast or following your Instagram page. And then boom, boom, boom. It just becomes second nature. That's what you want. There's a name you call it.
I was just going to say to you, what's the term that I have for that exact thing?
Is it unconscious management? No.
Close, close.
No, it's not. Is it? Am I close? It's close. Subconscious. No.
No.
Go on.
Automatic management.
Automatic.
There you go. There you go. You should have known, Graham. Basically, what automatic management is you're so confident of your ratios, your timing, your food, your exercise, your overall understanding of your management that essentially you do these things without even realizing. You do these things automatically, subconsciously, unconsciously to a certain extent so that it takes some of the mental stress out of your management because you're just doing these things because you're so confident of them. Don't forget that again.
Never. Right. You've got your insulin taken. Now it's my turn to step up to produce the podcast. And like, it's not really, I cannot take credit at all for it being my idea saying I've got an idea for the podcast because I'm literally just stealing your Instagram post from yesterday. So today is, is today the 2nd? I presume today is Tuesday, the 2nd of April. This is going out on Wednesday, the 3rd of April. So it's going out in about 12 hours time. But yesterday was the 1st of April and happy April Fool's Day to those who celebrate. So your Instagram post features a load of different statements that you would hear from the general public about diabetes. Those not informed people like me before I joined the podcast. And then at the end of each statement, you just goes, April Fool's, smiley emoji face. So you've just got a couple of statements. And what I want you to do is I'll read the statement that you put on your Instagram post yesterday and you go a little bit further into the statement. Not too much, but maybe in the lines of, did you think it maybe before you were diagnosed? Do you hear it a lot from other people? And maybe when people are just newly diagnosed and you're chatting to them, is this what they believe? So will we kick it off, Owen?
Yes, sir. As you know, Graham, I'm somebody particularly around diabetes that I will go off on a tangent. So feel free to hook me in and pull me back when needs be, if I go into any too deeply.
Okay. Statement one, type 1 diabetes is caused by eating too much sugar. April Fools.
Absolutely not. I've heard this hundreds, if not thousands of times over the years. Type 1 diabetes is not caused by eating too much sugar. That I don't even want to say anything more than that. It's an autoimmune disease. You get it or you don't. You don't cause it. So that's all I'm saying. I don't need to go into more depth.
It's so funny when we get stuff sent into our office, mostly getting sent donuts with just loads of chocolate coverings and loads of sugar and loads of everything. The amount of times I've heard in the canteen, oh God, I'm going to get diabetes with all these donuts I'm eating. And I'm like, you're not, you're not. But it's because there's not enough education out there. People don't know. It's just this generalized statement that diabetes is associated or type 1 diabetes is associated with eating unhealthily.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people feel as if type 1 diabetes and, for example, type 2 diabetes should have a different name for the condition. Because yes, they're obviously very similar in terms of like insulin resistance, insulin sensitivity, what the body does, what the body requires, et cetera, et cetera. But the causes of it are completely different. And look, I understand and I appreciate when somebody is ignorant towards a condition. I'm obviously ignorant towards many medical conditions out there that I have no clue about. And diabetes is one of those things that everybody knows exists. And for the most part, all they know is, or what they have been, what they heard one way or another over X amount of years or movies, whatever, is sugar diabetes. So it's like a stereotypical thing of, oh, if I eat this really sugary thing, what I will associate with that thing is diabetes. But obviously diabetes itself, there are many different forms, and with type 1 you're not gonna get it if you eat donuts every day of the week. You'd get it if you get it, you don't if you don't, essentially.
Next statement: type 1 diabetes can be reversed through exercise. April Fools.
Type 1 diabetes can be improved by exercise. And what I mean by improved, for various different reasons. If you move and exercise more, your insulin sensitivity is increased. Therefore, you require less insulin. And almost as a byproduct of that, it's quote unquote easier to manage because there's less room for error, essentially, particularly if you're eating more carbohydrate or more food overall. Also, more so with like a kind of mindset thing, if you exercise and move more and overall feel better, you feel energized, your mood is in a better place, you just generally feel healthier. In my opinion, it's easier to manage diabetes with a more positive outlook when you feel better, when you feel more energized, etc., etc. These things that you can get from exercise. But physiologically, can type 1 diabetes be reversed through exercise? Absolutely not.
Next statement: type 1 diabetes isn't serious.
I suppose I did write these, obviously.
Yeah, I'm reading them from your post.
My Instagram. What was the thing? What did you say? Isn't serious? No. Type 1 diabetes is serious, unfortunately. And it should be treated that way, in my opinion. Yes. Look, how many episodes have we done, Graham? Nearly 210 episodes. Yep. In a large portion of those episodes, we have made jokes. We have looked at things lightheartedly. We have made light of something that is serious. So yes, it's important to look at like the funnier sides of diabetes, or to try and have a more positive outlook, or to not always look at the sinister, serious sides of things. But at the surface, it's incredibly serious. And it's something that I always want people to take seriously, even if you joke about it from time to time. I suppose your core value with it, or your core driving force to your management, should be something quite serious, because it is a serious condition. That's how I stand with it.
Type 1 diabetes means that you can't be fit and healthy. April Fools.
Yeah. This is another one where I've heard plenty of times over the years where people either think, like, I'm obviously somebody who goes to the gym. I like to stay in good shape physically. I enjoy going to the gym too. And I've had plenty of conversations over the years, or even comments or remarks made, where they're just complete opposites. So one person may say to me, it's impossible for you to run a marathon, or it's impossible for you to work out in the gym or build muscle or get in X physical shape. And then another person would say, you're only in good physical shape, or you only build muscle because you are type 1 diabetic and because you take insulin. So you get, but I've had both of those types of comments over the years, obviously completely contradicting each other, strangely enough. But yes, you can absolutely be fit and healthy. I'm fitter and healthier as a result of being diabetic, and also a lot of other people that I'm in contact with would feel the same.
Type 1 diabetes is caused by eating loads of sweets as a child. April Fools.
Yeah, that, well, that's kind of similar to point one, but that's actually something that I was initially almost concerned and felt an element of regret around, because when I was a child, and if my parents are listening, they know just as well as I do. When I was a child, I had a really, really, really sweet tooth. Like, I loved sweets, and I loved, one of my favorite things in the world, we used to go down to Rosslare in Wexford like every summer. And one of my favorite things to do was get 50p, if I was lucky at the time, get 50p. And I always remember the 50p that we used to have before the euro had a fish. And it was almost like a, it was like an...
You're driving a bicycle.
No, that was...
No.
You're thinking of like Guinness. The Guinness. Yeah. Unreal. No, it was a fish. Yeah, I was too young for Guinness at that stage. But it was a fish, and I think it was like in the shape. What shape was it? It was like a hexagon. But I used to always look forward to getting 50p, because obviously at the time I wasn't working and I didn't have any money. And 50p at that time for me was like a massive amount of money. And there used to be a sweet shop around the corner from the bungalow that we had in Wexford. And I used to go in there and get like 5-10 penny bags of jellies of sweets. And that was just like the highlight of my life.
Yeah.
But going back to diabetes, because I had such a sweet tooth as a child and I used to eat a lot of sweets, I was still like active and fit and healthy, obviously. But when I was first diagnosed with type 1, because I knew nothing about it at the time, I was thinking, oh God, like, I've got this thing now because when I was a child, I ate loads of sweets and I had like this almost internal sense of regret, because obviously at the time I knew nothing about it. But thankfully, for my own sake, type 1 diabetes is not caused by eating sweets as a child. Absolutely not.
Type 1 diabetes is only a negative. April Fools.
I love the hidden April Fools. It's on the surface a negative. And look, if you're listening to this podcast now, if it is the first episode you've ever listened to, go start from day one, because over the 200 plus episodes, you'll quite clearly see in very deep detail that type 1 diabetes doesn't have to just be a negative in your life. There can be so many positives you can get from it. And there are so many positives that I have got from it personally. Yes, it's challenging on a daily and weekly basis, but you can benefit massively health-wise, strangely enough, but also just as a person throughout your life with type 1 diabetes that, in my opinion, you wouldn't be able to develop if you didn't have type 1.
Just from listening to a lot of the guests we've had, actually, I think the majority, if not 80 to 90%, actually would prefer their life with diabetes.
Mm.
A lot of them struggled at the beginning. There's a trend with people who get it when they're young and struggling with it in school and stuff because they're different. But for the most part, a lot of them have kind of made it, and you say this a lot, made it their reason to succeed in life, which is great, I think.
Yeah. Like on the surface, and without going too deep into it in this episode, because I know it's not this type of episode, but on the surface, like, yeah, there are daily chat, even today, like the challenges of, do I need a half unit correction for this thing? Like, am I thinking about blood sugar? Probably yes. Am I thinking about how my blood sugar is going to react over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours? Like, what am I thinking about the future of my health? Like, these are all the things that on the surface can be a challenge almost on a daily basis. But it's when you kind of get deeper under that surface into how you can benefit as a human being and a person and how you develop with the condition, it's something that you wouldn't get from anything else, in my opinion, because of how hard it is and because of how challenging it is, inevitably you become more resilient, thick-skinned, stronger, et cetera, et cetera. But they're not easy things to even realize either, because you can only feel that way following going through a difficult time or period. But anyway, we won't go too deep into that in this episode.
Type 1 diabetes means you can't be in the best shape of your life.
Yes, you can. I feel passionate about this one. Yes, you can. 100%. Getting into good physical shape, whatever that means to you, is difficult, regardless of diabetes or not. And yes, it is more difficult if you have type 1 diabetes. Nobody can deny that. But I'm a big believer in saying, just because something is difficult, it doesn't mean it's not worth doing. Just because something is difficult, it doesn't mean it isn't worth trying. And also, if something is difficult, it doesn't mean it's not worth doing. Did I say worth doing already? Did I say that twice?
Hey, mate, let's say it twice. Why not? It's yes. important. It's an important
fact. Let's highlight it. Let's highlight
it.
Being in great physical shape, whether it be like aesthetically, whether it be performance-wise, whether it be how you feel, energy, how clothes fit, etc. Whatever that is for you, it can all be different for us individually. Yeah, it probably is going to be harder with type 1. But a lot of the reasons or a lot of the things that help me manage my diabetes also help me stay in good physical shape. Discipline, resilience, routine, the type of food that I like to eat or have to eat to a certain extent, consistency with training, sleep, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like the things that your diabetes requires are also very complementary to building a body or a performance type that a lot of people might want to be or feel. So yes, yeah,
you've most certainly used your diabetes to your advantage in terms of especially the food you eat and how strict you are and using your workout to help as part of your management. So I think it's definitely had an impact of the shape that you were in, and you were in phenomenal shape. And do you often think about, now you're very mentally strong, and if you weren't diabetic, I know you'd be into exercising as well, but do you think you would be in the same shape you would be now if you weren't diabetic?
I think I would be in good shape, but I wouldn't be as disciplined around it. Now, and part of that comes from the fact that, like, I enjoy training. I enjoy running. I enjoy the feeling of, like, exercising. And I enjoy the secondary feeling of when you come home from exercise and you sleep better and you're in a better mood and you have more energy and you've more focus. Like, these are all things that you benefit from when you exercise consistently. That's diabetes aside. Then obviously with diabetes, those things are kind of highlighted even more or exaggerated, because on a day where I exercise compared to a day that I don't exercise, and exercising can be going to the gym or going out for a walk or whatever, but there's a very clear difference between how I manage my diabetes, even blood sugar wise specifically, on days that I train compared to days that I don't train. So the consistency, and consistency doesn't mean perfection, by the way. Consistency just means you're doing a little bit every now and then. The consistency with that type of exercise and training is just phenomenally beneficial for training. But to get back to your question specifically, I think I would be in good shape, yeah, because I'm just that type of person anyway who enjoys training. But with the level of, let's call it, consistency and discipline and what my diabetes requires for me to keep it in the place that I like it to be in, that's complementary to training. That's complementary to recovery. That's complementary to nutrition and rest and all those types of things that your body thanks you for, essentially.
Two more. Type 1 diabetes means you can't drink alcohol.
Fools.
I think you know, Graham, just as well as I do, that we've had plenty of alcohol-filled nights. Maybe plenty of unresponsible ones, too, at the same time.
Very responsible. We're two very responsible people.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what? Can I say something? I don't know if this sounds bad on me, but I'm delighted I didn't have such an in-depth knowledge of diabetes when we were first going out. Because if I had the knowledge of diabetes that I have now, I would be awful worried about you going out. And I'd be constantly, yeah. I probably would be to a point where I would start to annoy you, where I'd be like, oh, you're right there. You're right. You're going low. You're going high. And yeah. You know, when it gets late in the night, I'd probably be nagging you to go, well, check your sugars there. Will you check your levels are all right there. Just, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was oblivious to it. I was like, oh, Owen just injects himself from time to time. That's fine. I'm a little bit of me is happy because I would have just been thinking, I'm worried about you the whole time.
It's funny, isn't it?
Which is kind of, maybe that looks bad on me, where I'd be like, that I prefer to be ignorant towards it. Maybe I should say, I wish I knew so I could have helped you or been more conscious of it. But
nah.
I think I would have been overthinking it because...
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting too, because like, look, don't get me wrong. It's not like, we weren't idiots, you know?
No. We were responsible idiots.
Yeah, responsible idiots. That's the way we'll put it. Like the day I was diagnosed, I realized, holy shit, excuse my language, like this thing is very serious and I need to take care of it. But that didn't mean that I didn't go out and drink alcohol and enjoy myself and go on holidays and go on like the summer types of trips that we had gone on over the years. But you can, of course, drink alcohol, but you just need to do it in a responsible way. I know it sounds like an alcohol advert, but
yeah,
like how I look at things with my diabetes, it's like, well, on one side, I look at how I want my blood sugar and my diabetes and my health to be. And then the other side, I look at the thing that I want to do, whether it be drinking alcohol. And I just look at how do I manage that thing differently to how my normal routine is or how my normal daily nutrition looks like, because I can still do it. I just need to probably shift insulin timing, insulin dosing. Am I consuming carbohydrate before bed so the alcohol doesn't pull my blood sugar too low before I go to sleep? All these different types of things. And there's actually two people who started in my program relatively recently. They like pretty much the same age as me. And on the first call to see like whether or not they were a good fit, we were a good fit for them. We were having a conversation about the kind of teen years and those experiences, because they were diagnosed younger than I was. And both of them said under different contexts, they were like, I almost don't even know how I got through my teen years, because they had had some wild trips and wild holidays and wild nights out, just finger pricking. So not even having alarms from...
Wow.
Yeah, not having alarms from highs or lows and all these different kinds of things, where they would have been drinking plenty of alcohol at the time. So yes, you can drink alcohol, just you have to do it in a safe way, in my opinion, because alcohol can complicate a number of different things with your diabetes. So it's important that you do it in a smart way. Let's put it that way.
And finally, type 1 diabetes isn't made easier by listening to the Insulin podcast. April Fools!
Oh, that's the obvious one. That's that's my favorite one. Of course it's made easier. I wish every single diabetic listened to the podcast. Even if you listen to one episode that you benefit from, all it takes, like with type 1 diabetes, all it takes is one mindset frame about something, even a quote that you hear from somebody, even a different way of thinking about something or a different way to approach food, exercise, insulin timing, insulin dosing, all these different things. Something so small can have a huge impact on your diabetes or how you look at it or how you manage it. And of course, it's going to be made easier if you listen to the podcast,
absolutely,
particularly if we've had 100 plus guests on the podcast. I have learned like a phenomenal amount from the guests that we've had on in a very selfish sort of way, because I do every episode, so I learn from every guest. So yeah, listen to the podcast. And obviously, if you're listening to us right now, you are listening, so continue to listen. And if you've missed any episodes, go back and listen to them or re-listen to them, because a tiny piece of information with type 1 diabetes can make a massive impact.
Happy April Fool's Day to all those who celebrate.
Did anybody do any sort of April Fool's joke or anything to you? I hate when people do it to me. I hate it.
What did Claire do? Claire was, I was off, I was feeling kind of sick yesterday and I wasn't quite in the form for messing. And Claire kept on messing with me. And one simple one was, I asked her to bring me in some water. She's getting water. We're watching a movie. And then she waited for the whole length of the movie. And I went to grab my water. And I was like, drank my water bottle. And I was like, see, I must have drank all my water. There's no water in there. At the end, Claire goes, did you enjoy your water? I go, I don't know. She goes, and put any water in your bottle, April Fools. Like, you got me, Claire.
Wow. She really got you. I thought you were going to say she
like, long game.
Put a liter of vodka or something in your, no, in your water nothing. Bottle.
Nothing. Yeah. She went out to the kitchen, stood there, came back in, delivered nothing.
That's a cruel, cruel joke.
She got me. I was like, Owen tells me I should be drinking. If I've thought I've drank enough water, I need to drink more.
There you go. That's the law.
They're all in my head there somewhere. They're all there. They mightn't be coming out right in the right order, but they're there.
As always, have a good day, good week. Look, choking on water. Do you ever choke on water?
Yes, all the time. Why? It goes down the wrong way.
Well, yeah, is that what it is?
Well, that's what my dad always says. It goes down the wrong way. But I'm like, surely is there only one way down? It's just your throat.
Well, no, it's... Well, yeah, I suppose.
Is there two different ways?
Your esophagus.
Yeah, does it go down there?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm no doctor.
I'm no... Yeah, well, true.
I'm no throat doctor.
Okay, look. Where was I? Have a good week. Have a good day. Look after your blood sugars. Take it easy. And we love you.